Shalom and welcome with Bindernovsky. Today I want to share a dream I had that was recorded on the 8th of month 12 in the year 2022 of the Gregorian counting. The timestamp of the file claims 6:47 a.m. Yet I don't know if the marks the beginning or the end of the recording in the clock of the mobile recorder. Maybe it's still in summertime, or I don't know, or it's properly set. Oh, never mind. The dream itself contains of three scenes that don't seem to have a connection at first glance and even sound a bit confusing. But there is a relative clear message in the dream, and that's why I feel to share it. So I'm going to tell the dream without much explanation, and afterwards I give one possible interpretation that's actually done by a dear true brother in Yeshua. But for yourself, ask the Holy Spirit to give you wisdom for proper understanding and of the dream, and ask him to speak to you personally for encouragement. So I'm going now into the dream. First scene. I'm along my way with a bicycle. Somewhere along my way, I'm cycling through apartments and buildings and whatever, but also outside in nature. Twice something drops down while I'm cycling along, I pick it up. One time of these two that I want to pick it up, a big truck pass along and I jump quickly aside as he passes by. He did not stop. I am not able to pick it up, that dropped down. Then I reach a place, possibly in a town or city, around the corner on to the right. So I make a right turn around the corner just between buildings on both sides. I see in not far distance a tiger in the middle of the small or narrow road. It is a full-size big tiger. I never seen one in nature, but it's a real big one. I get down from the bike on my feet. I'm still on the bike, but slowly and very carefully, I walk backwards. So go around the corner and go into the building. Besides the tiger, actually, there is a person. It seems like he has the tiger as a pet. Additionally, there's a dog that comes out of the trunk of a car that parks there. Though I'm not in a visible range in the natural understanding, but I still can observe everything. So there's this tiger, the dog, and then another animal. I don't know what it is. All the animals are really big, so the dog is even the size of the tiger. And I will avoid to pass by as long as they can run around without being on a leash. And then the next scene. I'm in a building. There's something like a helicopter that is not really a helicopter. Just something like it. Yet it just looks like a helicopter. It's some type of... In this building, I sit on a couch. And a young woman sits beside me to the left. A bunch of other people are here and all of them are wondering, what is this? What is going on? So the helicopter is more like the dark green olive military color. It is hovering over the roof and slowly getting lower and lower. Though I'm inside the building, I can see also everything that is going on outside. So the building might be could be a church or some kind of a house for spiritual life. Maybe a good-sized private house with fellowship, like a house group or so. The helicopter lands on top of the house. But then it destroys the roof. The roof itself is slightly slanted. As it lands, wooden boards are falling from the ceiling through the roof. We cover ourselves as much as possible. More and more of the roof get destroyed and the helicopter lands. Somehow, somewhere, which is actually impossible to describe how and where he lands. But then I see it's actually not a helicopter, but it is two dark-skinned people. And these are not Africans. Though their skin is dark, it appears to me it's not a natural skin. Maybe some sort of synthetic leather or whatever skin-like material. So they are dark-skinned, but I'm not able to assign any nationality to them. And the more their behavior is also not really like humans, it's just strange. I don't know how to describe. So the girl beside me does not even want to look at them, though I push her a little bit to the front. Though I see these two people only briefly, but it's long enough to realize they simply appear weird to me. If these are humans or aliens or whatever, I don't know. All the people who are in this room keep hiding or try as much as possible. And now the third scene. I'm together with a man who is approximately the age of 30, 35. I offer him clothing for free. He himself say he didn't need anything, but he has a niece or another relative of him, which is a young girl, or rather a child, maybe age 10 or 12 somewhere. There might be an instance to give her a gift, whether because of a birthday or something else. I show him the clothing that I have like on a big table before me and that I have to give away, which is quite a lot. He complains that there is some dirt here and here is something crinkled, and he found a couple of things that are basically brand new. And actually all clothes are as good as new. Only a few items have a few flaws. Then he picks up a black jacket where there's a bit dust on it, and he complains and say, this is useless. I put down the jacket and sweep the dust away with my hand. But though it is only a bit dust, he still find it faulty. Not all clothes are black, but there's also red and white and whatever, all kinds of colors. Then I have a nice white shirt that has only a few buckles. But he didn't like it either. Then the rubber boots with a tiny kink on top. And he says, no, they are used. I say, no, I have tried them once and realized they are too small for me. But that's it. They are brand new. But still he refused to take them. So he continues to complain and complain and complain about every tiny flaw or he's supposed to see. After a while, I start to go very hard on him. Fair but hard, with a clear message directly addressed to him. I say, first of all, everything is for free and he doesn't need to pay a single cent. The most people in this world, especially the ones in the poor countries, would fall upon it. If there are two people in these countries, they would fight for anything. Even if there would be way more spots and wrinkles on it. Then I continue to turn the message more precise. The gift of salvation is free, really free. If we come to Yeshua and ask for redemption and eternal life, would he say to us, no, here you have a mole, on your skin, and that's why I can't accept you, or here, because of the one wrinkle in your on your forehead, I can't take you. And this man is actually a friend. He's not a very close friend, but a friend. And not like an unknown stranger that would I would go possibly differently on it. So with my speech, I risk this friendship because eternal salvation is far beyond any friendship. I actually can't even express how intense I rebuked him. I'm not a very emotional person, actually. With the rubber boots, I told him even that he shall ask the girl, his niece, to come and check the boots if she likes to have them or not. And if they are too big, then it's solved on its own. Then it's no question. But simply he say, no, she don't like it, without knowing or asking herself, is stupidity. Also, to withhold or block someone else to receive eternal salvation is insane and criminal almost. To refuse a gift to someone else is stupidity and arrogance. So that was the dream. And now I'm going into the interpretation, or let's say first a little bit of an overview before the real interpretation. I might jump back and forth a little bit through the three different scenes, but you can read on a transcript, which I recommend, which is posted on my website, and the link is provided underneath. So you can connect the things better together, and may you have some more or slightly different revelations about it, or personal revelation, or for yourself. So the obstacles are on the way. First obstacles are nature, then aliens, and the strange people, which are not humans, whether aliens or whatever. And everybody is hiding because they are coming, and they're destroying the protection, the roof. They destroy it, they have the power with their power, with their machines, whatever it is. I speak to a friend who is the generation after the generation in my age, and his niece is finally the youngest generation. I try to give these things to the next generation, but he does not need so, and even don't want to pass it on. This is happening. Yeah, in real life, because the next generation after us made it very hard for their next generation. And we are at a time when the greatest deception is coming, greatest deception ever, and they are going to rip off the roof. The nature is going to be dangerous because the animals are going to be out there. Some of it we don't know what they are. Now a little bit more an advanced interpretation and some personal thoughts. So the two generations after us, which means the people in my age and the older, are definitely in danger. The next generation express the corruption of this world. They're not willing to receive what they consider to be flawed garments. For them, our stuff is unacceptable. They don't want anything of us. They don't want what we wear, what we think, not anything. Yet our generation was in many ways really the last generation of sanity. The world began to go insane somewhere around the end of the 90s, and now the days of Noah are dancing. Though I think maybe 89 was maybe the precursor, with, so to say, of a global change into insanity with the fall of the Iron Curtain, the Berlin Wall, which later, years later, got basically settled with the introduction of the internet in the form we know now today. I guess it was in 96 in CERN. What a coincidence. Came out of CERN. If you have a concern, the young people even can't see anything what is valuable of what we have to offer. The church is getting the roofs ripped off and the demons are here. They are dressed like in leather skins and they pretend to be humans and they're coming. They're already here, actually. They're probably already here and walking among the young generations and deceiving them and seducing them. Yeah, it's bad. Look for information, you will see that. And there are wild animals around. Take the metaphor of the wild animals. We can't even get to go anywhere, whether it's the city or it's the country, whether it's nature or civilizations. Wild animals are roaming the streets and we can't move freely because of them. This is actually a good picture of everything that's going on right now in front of our very eyes. What it means to us, I mean the wild animals, which you only need to look how the police acts. It's absolute insane. When I considered when I, in the past, police was helping me. Yeah, even when I was doing not so good things, they were fair. But now, just because not following the orders of the wicked governments, they just rip you off. They just, you know, I was once without them, the face diaper, and they wanted to arrest me, actually. It's insane. However, what it means for us is to preserve of what is possible to preserve, of the goodness and the wholesomeness of the spiritual and even natural truths. So our generation was the last one to know them, one to exemplify them. The young generations have lost touch with reality and they're like wild beasts roaming the streets and they're protecting these wild beasts and they are using wild beasts to get around and to threaten us. The young people actually want to kill and to be like a tiger to the elderly, to the older ones. They don't have any respect to their parents and to older people anymore. Look around, we see it everywhere. Why do you think in so many countries young leaders have been installed by the Wicked Evil Forum? Young leaders who rule in ruthless insanity. And young people, they all follow them. Yes, there are a few exceptions, I say, but in general, that's how it is. In the streams, where wild beasts roaming the streets, threatening our generation, threatening of anything that is left of the truth in any kind of healthy culture, any kind of true spirituality. The beasts are out there and the citizens are walking with them and taming them and using them and launching them. And the demons are at the doorstep, ready to rip off the roof of the church. The young generation doesn't even want the good stuff that we have to clothe them in. When speaking about actually the rubber boots in a spiritual sense, the symbol for that reminded me of Ephesians 6 with the armor of Elohim. The boots might be not appropriate as we have been taught, you know, sandals or Roman sandals, boots, which mostly got name, but it's something you can use very good to walk through a lot of dirt and muddy ground, much better than with sandals, physically, which can be translated also to the spiritual. But in a dream, it was basically rejected and blocked from the next generation to the youngest generation. So the next generation doesn't want to give the youngest generation a chance to decide for themselves if they want to go into the harvest to deliver the good news for salvation or not. And not wearing garments of righteousness, because the old righteousness doesn't seem to be good enough. The dust of ancient times is not desired anymore. And what is being preached today? Garments of humanity, prosperity, tolerance, and whatever else. These colorful stuff. I don't know, as I don't follow so much the modern movements, but it has been told to me. So three sections in a dream about the times we are living in. What is the older generation doing when they try to kill us off with medical treatments and euthanasia? In Canada, mercy killing is actually now the number one cause of death. That was told my brother. The brother told me that. Number one. It's just insane. Just get rid of the elderly in the message. Get rid of useless eaters. Brave new world is on the horizon. Or almost here. 1984 has arrived in several countries already. And now it's Christmas. I wouldn't be surprised. Christmas is gonna have different types of gift this year. So let us pray for the few of the young generation that might listen to this voice, to the voice of wisdom, not necessarily our voice, but the voice of the Holy Spirit, and those who bring this message and who speak out this message. Most of the young are pretty corrupt, pretty self-centered, disobedient to parents, seeking pleasures, living for their foolish and empty dreams, and support the system of transhumanism. This is what scripture also said. It's almost over. Let us pray for the small remnant of the two generation of this dream. What is this? The Gen X, Generation X, and the millennials? That they will find the way of truth, the narrow path that leads to life. Pray for a big harvest among these young people. Let them put on the good clothes. Even if they seem to be a bit flawed, a bit old-fashioned and a bit dusty, or a bit bent, the clothing of righteousness and truth. And for the old generation, I would say repent of destroying the culture with hippiedom and all the things we have embraced and taught when we were young. I think a lot has to do with the 68 movement, or whatever the correct term. Maybe the Lord Yeshua rescue as many as possible from the younger and the youngest generation. Okay, so far the interpretation. If you seek for more wisdom and understanding, ask the Holy Spirit. He will give you everything you need to get the maximum out of the dream and guide you in all prayer into righteousness. But enough now, I will leave you. Till the next time, it's not really getting day, it's morning time, but there's still, seems like, very cloudy. But anyway, be blessed and Adonai be with you. Shalom, shalom.